listening to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with your host, Jay Taylor. If you have a question or comment about today's show, Jay would love to hear from you at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. You can also send an email to questionsfortaylor@gmail.com. That's questions, the number 4, Taylor@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Turning Hard Times to Good Times. I'm your host, Jay Taylor. Really pleased to have with me once again Dr. Roger Moss. He's the president, CEO, and a director of Labrador Gold Corp. Labrador Gold has some very exciting early results in its exploration of the Kingsway project in Newfoundland. And it's located along the same belt of rocks that hosts one of the most exciting gold discoveries over the past couple of years, namely the Queensway project that is being compared to the famous Fosterville deposit in Australia that was, I guess some people might suggest it was the company maker for Kirkland Lake. And while Newfound Gold has had a head start in exploring the Queensway project over Labrador in its exploration of the Kingsway project, it is most exciting to note that the same kind of high grades and same kind of rocks, I believe, that are being found by the big brother next door are being found by Labrador Gold. So I think this is the most exciting story. It's a company that has relatively small market cap at this stage. It's about 152 million shares, trades LAB in Toronto, NKOSF in the U.S., where Americans can purchase it, as I have. Earlier today, I saw it was selling at about $1.05 in Canadian money, giving it a market cap of just around $160 million in Canadian dollars. So, Roger, thank you so much for joining me again.
Thank you, Jay. It's great to be back.
It's really good to have you, especially after seeing this assay that you guys put out just, it was a week or so ago, I guess 27th maybe. It was very recently anyway. You're 44 grams of gold over 4.28 meters. What an intersection. But earlier you had a lot of good ones too, but I guess this is probably the best one so far. Can you talk a little bit about what you've learned so far in your drill program? You get a 50,000 meter drill program going, so you've got a lot of holes drilled already, a lot more to go, but what can you tell us about what you've learned so far?
Well, I think the key takeaway, Jay, is that it ain't easy. And we've drilled a lot of holes, and as you said, we've had some really great intersections. We are beginning to figure it out, but it's this style of mineralization is not they're not tabular zones. They're they're more sort of pencil shaped zones that plunge down. And figuring out that plunge, you can be one side or the other by 10 meters or so and completely miss it. So in some ways that's frustrating, but obviously the prize is immense once you have figured it out. And clearly our neighbors have figured it out a while back. And as you say, they had a head start. And, we're really targeting some of these high grade zones that we have picked up to date. And I think, the one that you just mentioned, the 44 grams a ton over 4.28 meters, that's from what we've called the HTC zone. It's a deeper zone. It lies below the big vein zone. And that's actually shaping up quite nicely in terms of us being able to follow it down plunge. We have a pretty good idea of where the mineralization is in that. And getting the longer intersections was really nice to see. And as you say, that's probably the best intersection that we've had on the property to date. But, we have had a few others, in the same zone. We had, just over 50 grams a ton over 1.85 meters. So, that's a pretty decent, solid intersection. And at the big vein zone, which is close to the surface, and actually the big vein outcrop on surface, we got a really high grade hit of 275 grams a ton over half a meter. So So that the high grade is there. I think we've demonstrated in our last release that we also have some width to some of these high grade intersections. So so that's what we're following up. And you know, I think as you say, the understanding comes with each bill hole and that goes into the model, and that's actually what we're doing.
Yeah, I think that you probably have to drill in different directions, I suppose, to try to figure out the geometry of these things, right?
Yeah, absolutely. We usually do a fan of holes from the single setup, mm-hmm. and in different directions. And you know, as I said, we can target a high grade zone, and you know, you're not always going to miss. You're not always going to hit it, and it's very frustrating when you don't. But all of that information goes back into the model, and we figure out why we missed it, and readjust and carry on. So it's a constant iterative process of right. really trying to define these down plunge extensions of the higher grade mineralization.
Mm-hmm. You have to keep vectoring in towards the higher grades, I guess. And, you know, I want to know, Roger, you mentioned the HTC zone. It's a little bit to the east of the big vein. And one thing, I think these mineralizations coming right up to the surface or close to it, right?
Yes, they do. The big vein outcrops at surface, and that's where we found last fall the initial quartz vein boulder that contained the visible gold that kicked off this area for us. And so that's at surface. We believe that the HTC zone does come out to surface as well up to the northeast, but we haven't definitively found it at surface yet. But the holes that we're intersecting, like some of these that we were talking about, these are only like 40, 50 meters below the surface vertically, and mm-hmm. And the hole in the big vein zone, that 265 grams a ton is just eight meters vertical wow. depth. So very, very close to surface mineralization here.
Roger, I know the major structure, the Appleton Fault that runs northeast southwest and parallel to these veins that you're looking at. Do you see that as a major feeder or a structural importance to these veins that are off to the west a little ways? And also, I'm wondering if you see the HTC zone and the big vein potentially converging at depth, at some depth.
We're not sure about the HTC and big vein converging. It looks like they might. As we go down to the southeast, but they're still quite a ways apart. Mm-hmm. And in terms of the Appleton Fault Zone, it's interesting because when we modeled it from our airborne geophysics, we had it placed out to the east, so probably on the order of I would guess. Say 200 meters east of where the big vein outcrop was. Uh-huh. Now we believe that we've intersected it in our deeper drill holes, and so we're thinking that at least part of the zone, and it appears to be more of a fault zone than a clearly demarcated fault. Part of that fault zone, we believe, is now closer to where big vein is, and we've also seen in some of the holes. Evidence of secondary faults that may be coming off big vein, and those are clearly important structures. You have the Appleton Fault bringing in the gold bearing fluid, and then getting moved out along these secondary and third order structures to the sides of where the gold is actually concentrated. So all of this structure is extremely important. In what we're trying to do and what we're trying to find here.
Yeah. And, yeah, so I understand that you're sort of vectoring towards the higher grades, and you do have to do a lot of drilling. As you said, it's not easy. But when I look at this, I know that you're, so you're sort of concentrated in a small area right now, but you've got some 12 kilometers of strike length along this this fault zone. So you're doing some work, I guess, probably some surface work, some geological scouting going along that whole 12-kilometer trend, I suppose?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think, Newfound Gold has proven that the Appleton Fault Zone is a prolific structure that it hosts or at least is associated with gold occurrences. The big vein occurrence on our property would be another one. And we believe there are others. We have indications of others. A few news releases ago, we talked about till samples. And those till samples, it sounds boring to most people because why are you going to talk about dirt when we want to talk about visible gold in drill core? But in fact, what that told us was that about 800 meters north of Big Vein, there is the likelihood of another occurrence that could be another big vein. Now, we've got a lot of work to do to prove that up, but those pristine gold grains, and by pristine, I mean they're like very, very delicate shapes. They haven't been folded and rolled into a ball. They still have jagged edges. So that didn't come from very far. It didn't come from as far as Big Vein. So we believe that there's another gold occurrence waiting to be discovered up in that area. We're also doing, all the way along the Appleton Fault, we're doing soil sampling, we're doing prospecting, and we're especially targeting the east side of the fault. As you probably know, Newfound Gold has found most of their best intersections on the east side of the Appleton Fault. Big Vein is on the west. Big Vein is on the west side of the fault. Now, we don't believe that it really matters whether you're on the west side or the east side of the fault as long as you have the structures, those second and third order structures coming off the Appleton Fault. But we are starting to do a lot of work on the east side of the Appleton Fault, and we think that we're going to be able to come up with a few more gold occurrences that along that fault. So the whole 12 kilometers are in play. And by the end of this field season, which will probably be when the snow covers the ground, say November, mid-November, drilling will continue, but the prospecting and mapping will be shut down. But by that time, I suspect that we would have three or four really good targets for diamond drilling. We're waiting right now for a permit for our fourth drill rig, and that fourth drill rig is going to be the rig that will be drilling those targets identified during our field work. So we'll still have the three drilling at Big Vein, but we're also going to be drill testing other targets all along that Appleton Fault.
With just a couple of minutes left here yet, I know there's some reference to epizonal gold deposit in your literature. Those of us who have followed several stories that Dr. Quentin Henning has worked on, we know that the Fosterville and your neighbor next door, we're talking about epizonal, seems to be a very exciting portion of an orogenic deposit. And I know that Dr. Henning said something the other day, he likes to see the sort of flat terrain because it suggests that those higher lower grades have been eroded away, and if you have right near surface these high grades in epizonal zone. And so, I know he's extremely bullish on your story as well. But any comments on this notion of epizonal gold deposits?
Yeah, I think there's something that's been brought to attention since the discovery of the Swan Zone, Fosterville, at least. Like in terms of being brought to investors' attention, as you mentioned, it was perhaps a company maker for Kirkland Lake. Quentin Hennig was involved with that, and he's been involved with Newfound Gold, and he's also been a technical advisor for us. So he has a very good knowledge of those systems and what he sees in Newfoundland seems to fit that same picture. So I think, you know, from my limited understanding, what we see at Queensway, the style of mineralization is very similar to what we see mm-hmm. New Crown Gold publishing. And, mm-hmm. You know, I haven't seen anything but pictures from Fosterville, but it looks very similar to what we see at Fosterville as well. So I think we're right in the ballpark of that epizonal style mm-hmm. of gold deposits. And I think that you know, obviously we hope that whatever newfound gold is finding down to the south extends up to Big Vein and beyond.
Absolutely. Well, just with a minute left here yet, you've got how far through are you the 50,000 meter drill program are you? How many more assays will be coming forward from that project? I mean, from that program, I should say. And then how well funded are you to take you into through the rest of this year?
All right. Well, the funding one is the easiest one to answer. We have 35 million in the bank.
Good.
Canadian.
Uh-huh.
So we're well funded for the foreseeable future. We expect to continue drilling through the winter and into the spring next year. How many meters have we drilled? We drilled 60 holes. I think we're probably over 11,000 meters by now. I don't know the exact figure, but it'll be between 11,000 and 12,000 meters. Assays from the lab is always a tricky one. I think of those 60 holes, we probably have assays back, and we've reported perhaps between 30 and 40 of those holes.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd say about 35 holes we've probably reported. We have mm-hmm. assays back for, and mm-hmm. so there's a bunch of assays still in the lab. As you know, the lab turnaround times are not great, but mm-hmm. you know, the labs are working overtime to try and get the results out. So there's not much we can do but other than sit and wait. But they do give us good service. I don't want to make it sound like they're not doing their job. They're just okay. overwhelmed with
they're
the amount
overwhelmed.
Of samples that they're getting, especially out in Newfoundland.
All right, Roger. Well, we'll have to leave it go at that. I think we'll be wanting to watch real closely assays that will be forthcoming now as the labs get back to you, right? We should have a steady diet of those through the end of the year, I would think, then.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I mean, we get the assays out as soon as we can, and we'll continue to do that. And, I don't want to predict anything, but I'm sure we'll have some assays out in early to mid-September.
Excellent. All right, we'll have to leave it go with that. Roger, thank you so much for sharing with our listeners the update on this very exciting, I think very promising story that you have with your company. So we'll look to catch up with you again sometime in the not-too-distant future.
Absolutely. Thanks very much, Jay. Always appreciate
it. Thank you, Roger. Well, folks, we do have to go to break now, but don't go away because David McElvaney will be with us. David McElvaney of McElvaney Wealth Management. Want to find out what he's doing in these very uncertain markets. So don't go away. We'll be back with David McElvaney.
Follow us on Twitter at VoiceAmericaTRN. Get the lowdown on guests, new shows, and your favorites. That's VoiceAmericaTRN.
Lion One Metals is focused on high-grade gold in Fiji, led by legendary Canadian financier Walter Barikoff. Lion One is permitted for production and drilling for discoveries in one of the most exciting high-grade gold projects in the prolific South Pacific Ring of Fire. Lion One trades on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol LIO and on the OTCQX under the symbol LOMLF. Go to our website at liononemetals.com for more information about Lion One Metals and high-grade gold in Fiji.
Labrador Gold is an exploration company focused on its flagship Kingsway project, located in central Newfoundland Gold District. Labrador Gold's first phase drilling program has successfully identified high-grade gold mineralization, including a 3.6-meter intercept, grading 20.6 grams per ton gold, and 1.85 meters, grading 50.38 gram per ton gold. The company has approximately $35 million in the treasury and is led by a world-class team of CEO Roger Moss and technical advisors Sean Ryan and Quentin Henney.
Voice America Business Network, the bottom line in business.